Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Visioneering Technologies Q1 2021 quarterly investor conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Stephen Snoddy, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Hello to all of you. This is Stephen Snoddy, CEO of Visioneering Technologies, and I am joined this morning, this afternoon, this evening, wherever you are, by Brian Lane, our Chief Financial Officer, and our Senior VP of Sales and Marketing, Tony Sommer. We welcome you to our quarterly investor call for the quarter ended March 31st, 2021, our first fiscal quarter of the year. We'll open a call today with financial and operational recaps of the business. We'll provide some additional color as to the status of operations, and then we'll open a line to answer your questions. All dollar amounts we will discuss today are in U.S. dollars, and VTI's fiscal year is coincident with the calendar year. Investors are also reminded that the financial metrics reported today and in our Appendix 4C and Business Activity Report are not audited. VTI is in the business of providing better vision. Our flagship product is a daily disposable soft contact lens called NaturalView Multifocal. NaturalView Multifocal is a revolutionary and patented contact lens targeted at two patient populations with high clinical need. The first being children with nearsightedness that becomes worse over time, a condition called pediatric myopia progression, which affects 80% or more of children in many Asian economies. The other patient population being prescribed NaturalView Multifocal contact lenses are people over the age of approximately 45 who have difficulty seeing things within arm's reach, a condition called presbyopia, which affects almost everyone over the age of 45-50. Our addressable markets in presbyopia and pediatric myopia are large, $5 billion in the U.S., more than $10 billion in Asia, as well as large markets in Europe and elsewhere. Visioneering also sells NaturalView Sphere contact lenses, which are contact lenses for the simple correction of blurry vision. VTI has gained clearances or registrations to sell its products in the United States, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Hong Kong, and most recently, Canada. We employ a direct sales force in the United States and partner with sales and distribution partners outside the United States. The conduit to the patient begins when we sell our lenses to fulfillment partners who hold inventory of our products. The fulfillment partners receive orders from and sell to eye care professionals, which we call ECPs, generally on a per-patient basis. Patients then purchase our lenses from their eye care professional or ECP. With that introduction, Brian, can you recap the March quarter financial performance for us?
Yes, Stephen, I can. Good morning, good evening to everyone. I'll start with shipments. Our shipments of contact lenses to U.S. ECPs in the first quarter were $1.7 million, which was an increase of 25% from the previous quarter and an increase of 5% over the same period in 2020. This quarter was the first in our history with shipments in excess of $1.7 million. We're especially pleased with this new record given that the U.S. market's still dealing with the lingering effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, which still has resulted in limitations on the number of patients that our ECPs can see. In case you're new to VTI, shipments to U.S. ECPs is a gross revenue equivalent, and it captures the value of our products being sold by our fulfillment partners to ECPs in the U.S., as Stephen just described. Shipments to U.S. ECPs is a non-GAAP measure that we use to provide greater transparency into the demand for our products from patients, as revenue can be materially impacted by the timing of stocking and unstocking at our fulfillment partners, whereas most ECPs don't carry inventory. Shipments consider only ECPs in the U.S., as our ability to measure this level of detail is limited outside the U.S. In our 4C, we included a chart of shipments to U.S. ECPs by quarter. The chart shows that shipments in 2018 and 2019 increased from Q1 to Q2, and then again from Q2 to Q3, before declining slightly in Q4. The same trend occurred in 2020, except that the COVID-19 concerns led to a significant decline in the second quarter, and a surge in cases led to a greater dip in the fourth quarter. Barring any additional impacts from the pandemic, we anticipate that quarterly shipments in 2021 will follow the historical pattern that we saw in 2018 and 2019 of increasing from Q1 to Q2 and Q3 before having a slight decline in Q4. Net revenue generally follows the same pattern, but with greater variability due to fluctuation in the inventory levels at our distributors. Speaking of net revenue, first quarter net revenue was $1.6 million, which represents an increase of 11% from the previous quarter and 18% from the same period in 2020. Cash receipts from customers in the first quarter were $1.6 million as well, an increase of 39% from the prior quarter and 24% from the same period in the prior year. We have reiterated our forecast of $7.0 million in net revenue for fiscal year 2021. Based on our performance in the first quarter and our expectation that our remaining three quarters will follow the trend I just noted, we reaffirm the forecast for the full year 2021. The number of active U.S. accounts, which are accounts in the U.S. that purchase product within the quarter, those were 2,165 accounts in the first quarter compared to 2,074 accounts in the prior quarter. Gross profit in the quarter was 44.1% of net revenue, compared to 45.9% in the prior quarter and 39.5% in the same quarter of 2020. We continue to experience higher direct-to-patient deliveries that increase our shipping costs and lower our margins. Direct-to-patient costs increased dramatically in the second quarter of 2020 when patients were unable or unwilling to travel to their ECPs to pick up our products. While the situation eased beginning in the third quarter, it remains elevated compared to where it was prior to the second quarter. In addition, global shipping issues have resulted in higher shipping prices for moving our products from our manufacturer in Taiwan to the U.S., increasing our cost per unit. We expect both of these issues to ease through 2021, but we have limited visibility as to the timing and the magnitude of these changes. Turning to cash flows, we completed a placement to institutional and sophisticated investors in March. We received $16.0 million, obviously that's U.S., net of fees in the first quarter, as reflected in our Appendix 4C. In early April, we completed the Security Purchase Plan, or SPP, through which we received an additional $0.6 million net of fees. Now, that 0.6 is a little bit low because we paid some of the fees related to the placement in April, and the fees, you know, really related to both. So you'll see the second quarter or the SPP fees and placement monies in our second quarter Appendix 4C. For the use of the proceeds, we plan to restart several initiatives that were suspended in April 2020 to conserve cash through the COVID-19 pandemic. These initiatives included conducting clinical trials, expanding our sales function, and launching new products in addition to general working capital needs. Net cash used in operations was $1.9 million in a quarter, which included $1.2 million of cash used for inventory purchases. So excluding the inventory purchases, net cash used was $0.7 million in the first quarter compared to $0.9 million in the prior quarter for the comparable measure. This improvement was due primarily to higher cash receipts from customers, but it was partially offset by higher corporate costs in the current quarter. We generally incur higher corporate costs in the first quarter of each year just due to the timing of payments to our audit, insurance, and software vendors. We expect net cash used in operating activities to improve in the next couple of quarters compared to the current quarter. However, we've already kicked off those new initiatives that I referenced earlier, and payments for these projects likely will offset some or all of the improvements to our usual operating cash flows. While these payments are incremental to our cash flows, to our current cash outflows, we continue to forecast that the funds from the placement and the SPP should be sufficient to finance us through approximately break-even cash flow. That's it for the financials, Stephen. Back to you.
Well, thanks, Brian, for that recap of what was clearly a very strong quarter in terms of our performance indicators. Tony, would you be able to take a minute, please, to give us an update of what the playing field looks like out there?
Certainly, Stephen, and good morning and evening, everybody. In the United States, we had a strong quarter with our eye care practitioners. It was a combination of health insurance plans, retail foot traffic, and relaxed pandemic restrictions in some areas of the United States that led to an upbeat mood after the winter doldrums. Though American ECPs, eye care practitioners, continue to employ physical practices for health and safety, there was a tangible, very tangible, lightening of mood in some regions of the country. However, we still have very visible reminders of the impact of the pandemic on the day-to-day business of optometry with the abundance of PPE, plexiglass, and social distancing measures that can severely limit the throughput of patient traffic. Outside the United States, we're starting to ramp up marketing and sales activities through our sales and distribution partners. Though individual countries vary in their ongoing pandemic response, we're encouraged by some of the green shoots we're seeing in markets that are more engaged in commercial activity based on the legal and social acceptability within their jurisdictions. The sales team has continued to adjust the United States while engaging with our customers, whether it is in person, over the phone, email, text, or Zoom. Our professionalism and procedures have been called out favorably by our industry peers, particularly in our initial launch into Canada using our American-based sales team. Some high-level key opinion leader face-to-face meetings have commenced within a couple markets by invitation. So additionally, the American trade show season in person, which is striking, is taking its first hesitant steps later this month here in Atlanta, and it will be in full swing by June with multiple trade shows that have been delayed, all shifting into June in various different markets in the southern United States. I speak for many when I say that I can't wait to see our customers and key opinion leaders in a communal setting again. With that, back to you, Steve.
All right. Well, thanks, Tony. And compliments, I think, are due to our sales force, which, despite being less than half the size of the sales force prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, has managed to grow the number of practitioners and patients using our products, continue our organic growth, set records on our KPIs, and do all this with materially less cash use. So certainly, congratulations and appreciation in order for that group. Tony is correct that we are seeing a mood shift out there in the field. In the U.S., half the country has received at least one coronavirus vaccination dose. And between them and the people who have been naturally inoculated, most of the U.S. is improving in daily new cases and deaths, not all states, but most. We're not out of the woods yet, but barring variants escaping the vaccine, there is light on the horizon, and business activity is slowly returning to normal, including the business of optometry. In Europe, our expectations of our largest sales and distribution partner, Menicon, were substantially attenuated in 2020 as the pandemic made the launch of new products in Europe akin to throwing water into the wind. While Europe faces a slow and jolting vaccine rollout, economies there are opening back up, and we expect Menicon to soon begin a Europe-wide launch of our joint product in pediatric myopia control. We also expect to see our seedling markets in Singapore and Hong Kong to reinitiate expansion and growth, and we're already starting to see the market in Canada warm back up with their spring weather. The industry's excitement with myopia control in children continues to build through rapidly increasing investment by the large players, which, as we've always said, we think will benefit VTI. Cooper Vision and Essilor being the largest vision care company in the world, recently announced a joint venture on a spectacle product for pediatric myopia. And more recently, Menicon and J&J announced a joint effort on fighting myopia. The joint project between Menicon and J&J is not expected to compete with Visioneering Technologies' natural view multifocal soft lenses that are sold by Menicon. And one could expect the jump by J&J, as large as they are, into the myopia space further accelerates this very exciting area in which BCI is a leader due to our early and only entry into pediatric myopia. These transactions and collaborations, I think, really speak to the portfolio approach that is being sought by the large players for addressing myopia in children, and they seem to be seeking to offer portfolios of products to treat the scourge of a disease. BCI continues as a normal course of its business, as we've mentioned many times before, to discuss potential collaborations with several other companies with the goal of using existing infrastructure to offer expanded product lines through larger sales forces. With these first quarter results, BCI has started 2021 with excellent momentum, having set a record with shipments in the United States of around $2.2 million Australian dollars, and seeing yet another quarter of strong growth in our other key performance indicators. With the pandemic ebbing and interest in myopia surging, and the company properly resourced with cash to take advantage of growth opportunities, we are looking forward to a very bright 2021 and beyond. And with that, we can move to questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Elyse Shapiro from Bell Potter. Please go ahead.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for taking the questions. Maybe just starting off on the sales force. I know you've previously spoken about making some new hires there. Can you talk about those additions and how they're panning out? And just with regard to, all the U.S. territories, do you now have the entire U.S. kind of geographically covered by region?
No, we don't have the entire U.S. covered. So just to give you a sense of the history, we used to have 20 territories covered by the field salespeople. With the pandemic, that came down to 5 territories and broadened territories for the sales personnel that were still on board. We did do a little bit of rehiring later in 2020 as the PPP program in the United States made that financially close to neutral, easier for us to do. So that brought the field sales force, the number of territories covered, up to 7. And we also have a couple of people who are inside BTI, we call inside reps, covering a few more territories. So right now the total is 7 plus 2, 7 out in the field and 2 on the inside, certainly nowhere near the entire United States covered. There are some large territories that were doing well before the pandemic started that we were sad to have to shut down. But it's starting to look like a lot of these territories are coming back up to speed and starting to look like they would be attractive expansions of either the current field force or we could add a small number of representatives to cover those territories. So the approach here of that, the approach here for us is small incremental changes, nothing big and drastic. We're still not sure how much we can accomplish with the sales force that we have. I'm sure that you've noticed the increase in productivity that we have with the sales staff that we have right now, quite a dramatic increase in productivity on average per person. And we still don't know where that can go. So the approach from here on out will really be focused on, let's figure out what we can get out of our current accounts with a little bit of account growth and what we can get out of our current territory managers, see how far we can take that and make small incremental changes overall.
Got it. So, when do you anticipate having, the majority of the 20 territories covered? Kind of closer to that 15 to 18 mark at least?
Right now, that would represent very aggressive growth. So, that would be a more than doubling of our current sales force, and that's not in the really near-term plan. the focus on growth right now is more on organic growth within existing accounts and getting more productivity out of the current sales force, because as we've seen historically, it is very expensive to add territories really, really quickly. And, you know, something that we did prior, it used up a lot of cash, and we're going to be quite cautious about doing that again. So right now, you know, we can cover more and more territories with the existing sales staff that we have. We're not looking at, you know, making a precipitous move that would bring us back to that fully staffed sales force that you saw before.
Got it. And then how
so
do you...
Much
how
more
you,
about just very capital efficient growth.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. How do you balance that then with, you know, a bit more competition with players like MySight coming through, you know, talking to $25 million in revenues for 2021?
So, you know, we could go out and spend the kind of money that they're spending, but we prefer to let them spend the money. So that they are going to be spending a very large amount of money, mostly, we think, on education and awareness around myopia. And we think actually that's going to increase our efficiency because the battle that we've had, you know, the really big fight has been awareness. You know, for a long time, we were the, you know, one of the only companies talking about myopia progression control, one of the only products being used for it. And, you know, that made it somewhat difficult that the large companies were not talking about myopia control in children as being important clinically. Now with CooperVision and J&J both now talking about the importance of myopia control, we think that actually helps us out quite a bit and, you know, makes our efforts more efficient, not less.
Got it. And just one last one from me. Can you give a bit of a status update on Menicon and kind of when you see that starting to really turn into kind of an improved tranche of sales growth for you?
Yeah, so what we talked about, you know, in the introduction here was that 2020 was to be Menicon's launch year for Menicon Bloom Day, which is our private labeled product for them, specifically for myopia control in children in Europe. That launch did not happen the way that Menicon or we expected it to. It did happen. They did open a limited number of accounts in Europe, but with the pandemic, you know, it just didn't make a lot of sense to throw a lot of money at that launch in Europe until the pandemic started to recede. Now, with the pandemic starting to pull back, economic activity starting to pick up, countries starting to open, our expectation is that Menicon will be launching much more broadly in Europe throughout the first half of 2021.
And do they include not only our
product, but the entire Bloom platform.
And do they give you detail on, you know, the number of optometrists that are trained up on the product and ordering?
No, once we get up and rolling and things become a little more predictable, they will be providing us with rolling forecasts so that we can plan our manufacturing. But operationally, we're not privy to the, you know, the very sensitive information on their accounts. But, you know, once they start providing a rolling forecast, we'll have a pretty good idea.
Thanks. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, great. Any other questions we can take?
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We'll now pause a moment for any further questions to come through. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time, and that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.